بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ميراث الأنبياء website is pleased to present the recording of a lesson in English titled An Explanation of the Rites of Hajj from the book التحقيق والإضاح by Sheikh عبد العزيز بن باز رحمه الله تعالى, delivered by أستاذ أبو إسحاق نديم حفظه الله تعالى during the year 1445.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
We ask Allah to make it a source of benefit
إن الحمد لله. Indeed, all praise belongs to Allah. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره. We seek His help. We seek His aid and His forgiveness. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our souls and from our bad actions. مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is none to misguide, and whomsoever Allah leaves to stray, there is none to guide. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And I bear witness that none deserves to be worshipped alone in truth except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and messenger. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. Oh, you who believe, be dutiful to Allah as He deserves, and do not die except in a state of Islam, as Muslims, with complete submission to Allah. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord who created you from a single soul, and from it He created His partner, and from them both He created many men and women. And be dutiful to Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and be dutiful to the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is ever a watcher over you. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. O you who believe, be dutiful to Allah and always speak the truth. Allah will set right your deeds for you and forgive you your sins, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved great success. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. As for that which follows, then indeed the best speech is the speech of Allah, and the best guidance is that of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وشر الأمور محدثاتها. And the worst of all matters, the most evil of all matters, are those newly invented into the religion of Islam. وكل محدثة بدعة. And every newly invented matter in Islam is an innovation, a despicable innovation. وَكُلَّ بِدَعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. And every despicable innovation in the religion is a form of misguidance. وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. And every form of misguidance is in the fire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us to commence a four-day Islamic seminar with Mirath Radio. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them for all their efforts in spreading the true da'wah, the call of the prophets, the inheritance of the prophets. And we will be reading through, bi'idhnillah, the famous book of Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the great scholars of Islam, who passed away approximately 24-25 years ago, who was previously known as Mufti Am al-Mamlaka al-Arabiya Saudiya, who was the head scholar of fatwa in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And he wrote a book about Hajj many years ago, which he mentions in the introduction, which we'll be going through in a moment. And he called it At-Tahqiqu wal-Idah, verifying and clarifying many of the issues surrounding Hajj, Umrah, and visiting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's masjid in Medina in light of the book and the sunnah. This is the name of the book. So we begin without any further ado. The Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, starting in the name of Allah, as many of the scholars they did, imitating by that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his writings, in his letters, and imitating by that first and foremost the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said muqaddimah, introduction. He praised Allah, sending salat upon and the salam upon the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he said, this abridged book contains a clarification and a verification of many of the matters and the issues surrounding Hajj, Umrah, and visiting Medina in accordance to the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I gathered these points for myself and whoever Allah wills to benefit from them from the Muslims. And I did my best to prove each point that was mentioned here in accordance to the proofs. And the first time it was printed was in the year 1363. This gives you an indication of how old this book is and when the Sheikh wrote it. 1363 is approximately 1943. And he said it was printed by in the auspices and by the funding of the then King Abdul Aziz Al Saud, who was the father of the current King of Saudi Arabia, the founder of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia as it stands today. And then he said, and then after that, I further elaborated the issues or the matters in this book and gave it some more detail and added some further clarification as was needed. And I considered that it should be printed again so that people would be able to benefit from it. And I called it At-Tahqiq wal-Idah لِكَثِيرًا مِنْ مَسَائِلَ الْحَجْ وَالْعُمْرَةَ وَالزِّيَارَةَ عَلَى ضَوْءِ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُنَّةِ. The same title that we mentioned earlier. So the Shaykh himself is the one who named this book. And then he said, and then another time I added more points of benefit for it and added some other aspects which to draw people's attention to, and it was printed more than once. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cause it to be a benefit to the people in general, and that he makes this effort of mine pure for his seeking his noble face and as a means and a cause to attain success with him in the bliss of the gardens of paradise. Indeed, he is sufficient for us and he is the best protector, and there is no might, no power except with Allah, the Most High, the Most Great. So Shaykh Abdul Aziz bin Baz rahimahullah ta'ala, he made that dua. We say Allahumma Ameen. And the Muslims have been benefiting from this book ever since the time that he wrote it, all those years ago, almost 100 years ago, which is basically around about 80 years ago. Then after the introduction, he goes into the book directly and says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Wal Aqibatu Lil Muttaqeen, Wa Salatu Wa Salamu Ala Abdihi, Wa Rasulihi Muhammadin, Wa Ala Alihi Wa Sahbihi Ajma'een. All praise belongs to Allah, Lord of the creation. And the good end, the final good end will be for the righteous. And may the prayers and blessings and the lofty mention of his be upon his slave and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon his family, upon his and all of his companions. As for that which follows, he said, this is a abridged book about Hajj, mentioning its virtues and the manners that a person should carry during Hajj, and that a person should do who is intending to do Hajj should do before he goes, and explaining many of the important matters during Hajj, during Umrah, and during visitation of Medina. And it is a book which is generally short and abridged. And I did my best to mention proofs from the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the points that I mentioned. And I did this as a form of advice or being a sincere effort towards the Muslims. And this was in line with the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and remind, for indeed the reminder benefits the believers. And it was in line with the saying of Allah ta'ala, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ لَتُبَيِّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَهُ. And when Allah took the covenant from the people that were given the book, meaning knowledge of the book, that you would clarify it to the people and you would not hide it. And this was also in line with the saying of Allah Ta'ala, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, and cooperate one another upon piety and righteousness. And as occurs in the authentic hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the religion is sincere advice. He said it 3 times. The Sahaba asked, sincere advice to who, O Messenger of Allah? He said, to Allah. Being sincere to Allah, to His book, to His messenger, to the leaders of the Muslims, and to the general masses of the Muslims. And the in accordance also to the hadith of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman found in At-Tabarani, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi collected by At-Tabarani, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, was reported to have said, whoever does not take care of the issues of the Muslims, then he is not from them. And then he said, and I ask Allah Ta'ala to cause me to benefit and the Muslims also to benefit from this, and to make this effort pure and sincere for His sake, and a means of gaining entry into the gardens of bliss. Indeed, He is the one who hears the du'as, and He is our sufficient for us and the best protector. That was his second introduction. Then he said, chapter regarding the proofs that Hajj and Umrah are obligatory and a person must hasten to perform them. The Shaykh says, once you realize this, you know this in the title, you should know, may Allah Ta'ala grant us all both success, us all success, to know and recognize the truth and to follow the truth. You should know that Allah Azza wa Jal obligated Hajj upon His servants to His house, the sacred house. And He declared it as one of the pillars of Islam, one of the 5 pillars of Islam. As He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اِسْتَطَعَى إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Indeed, to Allah, upon the people, for the sake of Allah, is to perform Hajj of the house, for those who are able to make their part, their way there, who are able to do so. And whoever rejects, then indeed Allah is free of His creation. He is free of need of His creation. And it occurs in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that Islam has been built, the meaning of which is, Islam has been built upon 5 pillars. To bear witness that none deserves to be worshipped alone except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah, to establish the prayer, to give the zakah, to fast the month of Ramadan, and to perform hajj of the house, to perform of Allah's sacred house. And it has also been narrated by Sa'id in his Sunan, meaning Sa'id ibn Mansur in his Sunan, from Umar ibn al-Khattab, that he was reported to have said, I almost felt like sending people to various cities, Omar said, to various cities, checking everyone that had the ability yet did not perform Hajj to ask them or to force them to pay the jizya. The jizya is a tax which is taken from non-Muslims who live in the protection of the Muslim lands, in the Muslim lands. To force them to pay the jizya. They are not Muslims. Umar ibn al-Khattab was reported to have said. And also it has been narrated from Ali that he said, whoever was able to perform Hajj and did not do it, then he may as well die as a Jew or as a Christian. Shaykh Ibn Baz continues and says, so therefore it is an obligation upon those people who have not performed Hajj and they have the ability to perform Hajj to hasten to do so. And this is in accordance to what was narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, ta'ajjalu, hasten towards Hajj, meaning the obligatory Hajj, because none of you knows what they may face, meaning of obstacles in the future. And this hadith is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. The Shaykh then said, and because Hajj is an obligation, and it has to be done as soon as a person is able to do so, as long as he at the moment he has the means. And this is in line with the saying of Allah Ta'ala, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. And upon the people, it is an obligation upon the people, for the sake of Allah, to perform Hajj for those who have the ability to do so. And وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. And whoever rejects, then Allah is free of no need of the creation. And due to the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his khutbah, he said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَرَضَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْحَجَّ فَحُجُّوا. O people, Allah has obligated Hajj upon you, so perform Hajj. And this hadith is in Sahih Muslim. And there were other hadiths, the Shaykh Ibn Baz said, that prove that Umrah is also an obligation in a person's lifetime. And that is from the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Jibreel alayhi salam asked him about Islam, he said, Islam is to bear witness that none deserves worship alone except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to establish the prayer, to pay the zakah, to perform Hajj and perform Umrah, and that you take a full bath after sexual or after intimate relations with your wife, with your spouse, and that you complete your wudu, and that you fast the month of Ramadan. This hadith, with the extra wordings, is found in was collected by Ibn Khuzaymah and Ad-Darqutni, and it is from the hadith of Umar ibn Khattab. And Ad-Darqutni said the chain of this hadith is authentic. Also, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that she said, O Messenger of Allah, do the women have to perform jihad? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is upon you to perform jihad that has no fighting in it, Hajj and Umrah. And this hadith has an authentic chain in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and also in the Sunan of Ibn Majah. So then Shaykh Ibn Baz says, It is not obligatory to do Hajj or Umrah more than once in a person's lifetime, because the Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith, Hajj is performed once, and whoever does more than that, then that is an extra act of worship. And it is from the Sunnah, and it is recommended to increase in Hajj and increase in Umrah, the extra ones. This is because it was established in Bukhari and Muslim that Abu Hurairah reported the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, one Umrah to another Umrah is an expiation, cancellation of sins of that which took place between them, and the accepted Hajj has no less reward than paradise. And then the Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahullah went to the next chapter, and he says, chapter, the obligation of repenting from your sins and returning people's belongings that you may have taken unjustly. The Sheikh said, when a Muslim decides that he is going to go on a journey to Hajj or to Umrah, it is recommended for him to leave some advice behind for his family members and for his companions, to advise them to be dutiful to Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning to do the things that Allah has commanded them to do and to stay away from the things that He has forbidden them from doing. And it is befitting that he writes down everything that he is owed and everything he owes others, any debts and so on and so forth, and that he should take two witnesses to witness that what he wrote. It is also an obligation upon him to hasten to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely and purely from all of his sins. And that is due to the saying of Allah ta'ala, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And repent to Allah, all of you, O believers, so that you may be successful. And the reality and the meaning of a tawbah or repentance is to abandon the sin. Stop doing the sin and abandon it altogether, and feel sorry for that which had passed, and with a firm resolve and a promise not to repeat to that sin again. And if he had unjustly taken somebody else's property or somebody else's rights, whether it was his life or his wealth or his honor, the person has to return that or seek forgiveness from that party before he travels. And this is due to the what was authentically reported from the Prophet ﷺ, that he said, whoever has a right that he took from his brother, either of wealth or of honor, then he should seek to clear that up today before a time when there will be neither dinar nor dirham, no form of wealth remaining. And if he had any good deeds, it would be taken from him according to the wrong that he had committed. And if he had no good deeds, then the person that he had wronged, his evil deeds will be given to this person to carry. Sheikh Ibn Baz continues and says, therefore, also a person should choose good companions, good friends, travel companions to go on Hajj or Umrah with. And he should also make sure that he uses only pure and halal wealth to do so. And this is due to the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, the authentic saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Indeed, Allah the Most High is good and pure. He only accepts that which is good and pure. And the hadith of Tabarani from Abu Hurairah, that the Prophet ﷺ said, when a person goes out for Hajj and the wealth that he used was pure, and he places his foot into the straps of his saddle, a caller calls, and then he says, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. Here I am, O my Lord, here I am. A caller calls out from the sky and says, Labbaik wa sa'daik. You are welcome. You are, and you will experience happiness. Zaduka halal. Your provisions are halal, and your riding animal is halal, and your Hajj is accepted without any sins. And if a person who goes out for Hajj with impure wealth, meaning money earned in a haram way, when he places his foot into the strap of his saddle, and he says, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, here I am, O my Lord, here I am, a caller calls out from the sky and says, you are not welcome, and may you be miserable. Your wealth is haram, and your spending is from haram. Your Hajj is not accepted. Sheikh Ibn Baz continues after mentioning this hadith. He says, also, the pilgrim, should not look to others to provide for him. Not look at what others have and seek to gain what they have. Rather, he should keep himself pure and away from asking others. As the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever seeks to be self-sufficient, Allah will suffice him. And whoever seeks not to ask from the people, then Allah will keep that person safe from having to ask the people. And the Prophet ﷺ said, a person continues to ask the people for things until Yawm al-Qiyamah, he comes and he will have no flesh left on his face. It is an obligation upon the pilgrim, the Sheikh said, that he seeks only the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his Hajj and by his Umrah. Seeking the hereafter, seeking closeness to Allah Ta'ala by doing that which pleases Him of statements and of actions in those noble, honorable places. And a person is weary, totally weary, of seeking any aspect of the temporary world from his Hajj, or doing it to show off, or doing it to be heard about, to become known, or doing it in order to boast and to be proud. All of that is from the most evil of intentions that a person can have, and it is from the means and from the causes of having his actions destroyed, not accepted. As Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا نُوَفِّي إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا النَّارِ وَحَبِطَ مَا صَنَعُوا فِيهَا وَبَاطِلُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Whoever sought the worldly life and its glitter, we will give them the recompense of what they sought of their actions, and they will not be fallen short in any of that. Those people will have no portion of the hellfire of the hereafter except the fire, and all of their actions will be destroyed. And false is it that which they used to do. Futile is it that which they used to do. And Allah Ta'ala also said, مَنْ كَانُ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَةَ عَجَّلْنَا لَهُ فِيهَا مَا نَشَاءُ لِمَنْ نُرِيدُ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا لَهُ جَهَنَّمَ يَصْلَاهَا مَذْمُومًا مَدْحُورًا وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Whoever wishes for a hastened reward in this life, we will give him a hasty reward, a recompense, as much as we will. And then, and then we will place him in hellfire to remain there in disgrace. And whoever sought the hereafter and worked righteously for it, and he is a believer, then those people shall be thanked for their efforts. It was also authentically reported from the Prophet ﷺ that he said, Allah Ta'ala said, I am the one least in need of any partner. Whoever did an action associating a partner with me in it, I would abandon him and his having associated partners with me and his action. So therefore, it is also important that a person takes a good companion with him on his journey, as somebody from the people of obedience to Allah and the people of taqwa, people of dutiness, piety to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone who has an understanding of the deen, and he should stay away from companionship of foolish people and sinners, particularly in this journey. And the Shaykh then says, and it is befitting for a person to learn that which he has to do during his Hajj and during his Umrah. He learns about that and he asks about those things that he's confused about, so that he is upon clear understanding and insight regarding what he needs to do. So when a person then boards his form of transportation, whether it's a riding animal, a car, a plane, or anything else, any other form of transportation, it is recommended for a person to say Bismillah and then praise Allah, and then say Allahu Akbar 3 times, and then say Subhanalladhi sakhkhara lana hadha wama kunna lahu muqarrina wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. Glory be to Allah who made this riding means of transportation subservient to us, and we had no ability to do that ourselves, and indeed our return will be to Allah. And then he says, Allahumma inni as'aluka fi safari hadha al-birra wa taqwa. Oh Allah, I ask you during this journey of mine righteousness and piety, wa min al-amali ma tarda, and actions that you are pleased with. Allahumma hawwin alayna safarana hadha. Oh Allah, make this journey easy for us. Watwi anna bu'dahu, and make its distance short. Allahumma anta sahibu fi safar. Oh Allah, you are the companion, the best companion during a travel. Wal khalifatu fil ahl, and the best one to leave behind, to look after our family. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min wa'tha'i safar. Oh Allah, I seek protection in you from the unpleasant things during journey. Wa ka'abat al-mandhar, and seeing evil things. Wa su'il munqalab, and an evil end. Fil mali wal ahl, towards our wealth and towards our family. And this was established from the Prophet ﷺ, as is found in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma in Sahih Muslim. A person must also, during his journey, increase in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and increase in seeking forgiveness from Allah ta'ala, al-istighfar, and increase in supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person should also be fervent and have humility and be broken-spirited in his dua to Allah. And he should increase in the recitation of the Qur'an. And he should focus on the meanings of the Qur'an. And he should make sure that he prays all of his prayers in congregation. And he should also make sure that he protects his tongue from excessive speech and speaking about this and speaking about that and rumors and getting involved in things that have no concern and being excessive in joking. Rather, a person should protect his tongue from lying as well as backbiting and spreading rumors and slander, joking and belittling others, belittling his companions and those around him and others from his Muslim brothers. It is also important for a person to be good and righteous towards his companions, and not to harm them in any way, and to encourage them to do good deeds in the best way, and to stop them and discourage them from evil deeds, according in the best way, and the best form of advice, and according to one's ability. The Sheikh then continues, and he says, chapter, what a person should do when he reaches the miqat. The miqat, my brothers and my sisters, are various places which surround Makkah. These five places surround Makkah in various locations and at various distances. The Prophet ﷺ is the one who he himself allocated most of those places. He said, the people that come from this direction, their miqat, meaning their point of assuming ihram, is such and such a place. The people who come from this direction, their place of assuming ihram is such and such a place. And those places are for the people who live there, he said, and for those who approach them from other areas, meaning who are about to pass them, intending Makkah for Hajj or for Umrah. So what does a person do when he reaches the miqat? The Sheikh said, rahimahullah, when a person reaches the miqat, it is recommended for the person to take a bath and to use perfume. Due to what was reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he removed his ordinary clothes and he put on his ihram and he had a bath. And it is authentic in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, from Aisha radiallahu anha, that she said, I used to apply perfume to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam before his ihram. And on the day of Eid, after coming out of ihram, before he would go to perform the tawaf of the house. As is well known, during Hajj, a person will, on the day of Eid, or after that, he will have to perform the main pillar of Hajj, which is known as, one of the main pillars of Hajj, which is known as Tawaf al-Hajj, the Tawaf of Hajj, or Tawaf al-Ifada. And this is a main aspect of Hajj. If a person doesn't do it, the Hajj is not complete. When the Prophet ﷺ went for tawaf, he came back, meaning after the day of Arafah and after stoning the Jamrat al-Aqaba on the morning of the 10th of the Hijjah, then he came and he sacrificed his animal and shaved his head. At that stage, Aisha, he came out of ihram and he went into his normal clothes. At that stage, the Prophet Aisha radiallahu anha, she applied perfume to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded Aisha radiallahu anha, when she went into her menses, and she had performed, she was in ihram to do umrah. She said to her, he said to her, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to her, take a bath and then do ihram for hajj. He also, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, commanded Asma bint Umais when she gave birth at the miqat of Dhul Hulayfa, which is the miqat of Medina. She gave birth over there. He told her to have a bath and to wrap herself up well. And then enter into ihram. So this shows that a woman, when she reaches the miqat, even if she is on her menses, or even if she is experiencing postnatal bleeding, she should take a bath and she should enter into ihram with the other people. And she does everything what the pilgrims do, except that she should not perform tawaf of the house, as the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded Aisha radiallahu anha and Asma also to do, and also not to do, meaning not to do tawaf of the house in that state. It is recommended, the Shaykh said, rahimahullah, whoever wants to do ihram, to before that to check his nails and his mustache, also his pubic hair around the private area and under the armpits. And if there is a need, then a person should remove that hair at that stage and before going into ihram, because doing it during ihram would be impermissible, and if a person might need to do it later on, then that would be not permissible for him to do. So, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the one who legislated for the Muslims to be careful about these matters in general, and he gave a fixed time period for that, as occurs in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim from Abu Huraira, that he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the natural actions, the fitrah, are five: circumcision and removing the hair from the private area, trimming the moustache, cutting the nails, and removing the armpit hair. And the translation is actually is plucking the armpit hair, which is the best way of removing the armpit hair. And also in Sahih Muslim, from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them a time frame wherein they should make sure that they trim their moustaches, cut their nails, remove the hair from their armpits, or pluck their armpit hair, and shave off the pubic hair, and that they should not be left for more than 40 nights. This had, and also in Sunan Nasa'i, there is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had fixed that timing for them. Also, the Shaykh mentioned, rahimahullah, the hadith found in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, in Abu Dawood, and also in At-Tirmidhi. The wording was of An-Nasa'i. So the Shaykh was giving reference to one of the previous wordings of that hadith. So continuing, the Shaykh says, as for the head, then it is not permissible to take, or it is not necessary to take anything from the hair of the head when you are getting ready for ihram, not for the men and not for the women. And as for the beard, the Shaykh says, then this is impermissible to shave or take anything from at all times. Rather, the obligation is to allow it to grow and to allow it to flow. And this is due to the authentic hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oppose and differ from the idolaters. Allow your beards to flow and cut short your moustaches. In Sahih Muslim also, from the Abu Huraira, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, cut your moustaches short and grow your beards and oppose the fire worshippers. And the Shaykh then said, how great has the calamity become in this era of ours, where many people have opposed this sunnah and actually fought against this matter, fought against beards, and they have become pleased with resembling the non-Muslims and resembling women. Sadly, more particularly those people who, some of those people who acclaim knowledge and teach people Islam. So he said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." It's a great calamity. So we ask Allah Ta'ala that He guides us and guides all the Muslims to live in agreement with the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and to hold on to it and to call people to it. And even if many people turn against it and turn away from it. And hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel, Allah is sufficient for us and the best protector. And there is no might nor power except with Allah, the Most High, the Most Mighty, the Almighty. Then a person, the males, they should wear two pieces of cloth, two garments, a lower garment and an upper garment. And it is preferred that they are white and clean. And a person should also wear sandals, meaning footwear that goes below the ankles. And this is due to the Prophet ﷺ saying, one of you should do ihram in a lower garment, izar, and an upper garment, rida, and two sandals, and na'lain. Now this word na'lain can be translated in different ways: shoes, slippers, sandals. What is intended, and Allah knows best, that they remain below the ankle. This hadith is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. As for the woman, the Shaykh says, rahimahullah, it is permissible for her to wear in her ihram whatever she wants, whether it's black, whether it's green, or something else, being wary not to resemble men in their clothing. As for specifying, some people specifying that the woman's ihram has to be green or has to be black and no other colors, then there's no basis or no proof for this. So when a person finishes taking a bath and cleaning themselves and they wear the ihram cloths or the clothing, a person thereafter, he performs the intention in his heart that he is entering into the rites of Hajj wa Umrah. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, indeed, actions are judged by their intention, and every person shall have that which he intended. But then after that, a person proceeds to mention that which he intended. He says, if his intention was Umrah, he says, Labayka Umrah, or Allahumma Labayka Umrah. If his intention was Hajj, he says, Labayka Hajjan, or he says, Allahumma Labayka Hajjan. So somebody might be confused here. He might say, well, I'm going for Hajj. Why would I do the intention of Umrah? And why wouldn't I do the intention of Hajj? Well, as you're going to learn later on in this, the Sheikh's book, that there is more than one way of performing Hajj. One way is to go to Makkah with the intention of Umrah, because, for example, you're going early by some days or some time, which gives you the opportunity to do Umrah, and then come out of your ihram after cutting your hair, as you would do, and then go back into ihram for Hajj on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, one day before the day of Arafah. And if a person decides that, no, he doesn't want to do Umrah, he wants to go directly for Hajj, or, for example, there's no time, it's already the 8th, and there's no time left, so he decides to go directly for Hajj, so he does the intention for Hajj, and doesn't do the Umrah beforehand. So this is why the Sheikh mentioned the two different types of pronouncing the rites. And this is because the Prophet ﷺ did that. The Shaykh says, it is preferred that a person makes that pronunciation after they have sat on their means of transportation, whether it's an animal or a car or anything else. And because the Prophet ﷺ, he only said that after he had actually got onto his riding animal, and he began to move from the miqat and towards Makkah. And this is the most correct position from the statements of the people of knowledge. However, the Shaykh then says, and it is not from Islam to perform a verbal intention for any other act of worship. Only for the ihram, because this is the only time the Prophet ﷺ did so. As for doing so for prayer, or for tawaf, or for anything else, then this is not befitting. Rather, a person suffices with the intention they have in their heart. They don't say, I intend to pray such and such, I intend to do such and such at tawaf. Rather, this is from the newly invented despicable innovations. And saying that out loud is from the is even worse and even greater and graver in sin. So if a person was if performing the intention out loud was in fact a sunnah, then the Prophet ﷺ would have explained that to us and showed it to his ummah to do by his actions or by his statements. And also the earliest righteous Muslims would have preceded us to that. Since this was not transmitted to us from the Prophet ﷺ or from any of the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them all, it became known that this is an innovation. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the most evil of all matters are the newly invented matters, and every innovation is misguidance. And this hadith is in Sahih Muslim. And then the Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala goes to the next chapter. He says, chapter في مواقيت المكانية وتحديدها, the places where a person is supposed to perform Hajj from, known as the miqats. Shaykh Ibn Baz says, the miqats, or the actual plural is muwaqit, are five in number. The first of them is the miqat of the people of Medina, is known as Dhul Hulayfa, and nowadays it's known as Abyar Ali. The second one is Al-Juhfa, and this is the miqat for the people of Sham, meaning the people that come from the north. And this is a small village which is desolate now, and it is short distance after the city called Rabigh. Nowadays, the Sheikh says, people do ihram from Rabigh. And so if a person did ihram from Rabigh, then this is permissible to do, because Rabigh is only a short distance before Al-Juhfa. The third place is known as Qarn al-Manazil. This is the miqat for the people that come from Najd, meaning from Riyadh, from the east in general. And nowadays it's called As-Sail. It's called As-Sail. Some people call it Sail Kabir. The fourth one is known as Yalamlam. And this is the miqat for the people of Yemen, meaning those who come from the south. And the fifth one is Dhat Irq. Dhat Irq is for the people of Iraq, okay, from that direction. So these five places, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he identified them mentioned that they were for those people who passed through them intending to do Hajj or Umrah. The obligation upon anyone who passes those places intending Hajj or Umrah is to do ihram from them. It is impermissible, haram, for a person to pass those miqats without doing ihram while the person was intending to go to Makkah to perform Hajj or Umrah. Whether the person was went past those areas by land, or whether he went by air, all of it is included in the same of the Prophet, saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hunna la hunna وَلِمَنْ أَتَى عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ غَيْرِ أَهْلِهِنَّ مِمَّنْ أَرَادَ الْحَجُّ وَالْعُمْرَةِ. Those places are for the people who live there and for anyone who passes through it from other than those places, intending for those intending Hajj or Umrah. And the Sheikh says, what is legislated for the person who, for those people intending to go to Makkah, they came by air, is that that they prepare themselves beforehand by taking a bath and doing everything else before they enter the aircraft. And when they come close to the miqat, the person wear their garments, their izar and their upper garment, and then they perform the talbiyah of umrah if the time is sufficient for them to do so. And if there was no time to do so, meaning if there were no days left, if there was enough time for a person to perform umrah, he does that. If there's no time and there's only days remaining, only for Hajj, for example, it's the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, then a person immediately goes into the ihram and the talbiyah of Hajj. And the Sheikh says, if a person decides to wear his izar, lower garment and upper garment before getting onto the plane, or before coming close to the miqat, there's nothing wrong with that, but he should not intend going into the rites of Hajj. Neither should he do any talbiyah, meaning saying labbaik Allahumma labbaik, except at the time when he is crossing or coming close to the actual miqat. And because the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't perform his ihram, he didn't begin his ihram except at the miqat itself. And the obligation upon the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ, meaning the Muslim nation, is to imitate and copy and take it as an example, the Prophet ﷺ, in this matter and in any other matter of the religion of Islam. As Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, you have in the Messenger of Allah a beautiful example to follow. And also, because the Prophet ﷺ himself said, and this was during his farewell pilgrimage, the last time he addressed his people during Hajj, he said, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, take from me your rites of Hajj. The Sheikh says, as for a person who is going to Makkah without intending Hajj, not intending Umrah, for example, a trader or someone who's carrying wood for burning, for fuel, or someone who's a postman, for example, and various people like that, there is no need for them to enter into Ihram unless they had the intention of doing Hajj or Umrah, because the Prophet ﷺ in the previous hadith, he said, those miqats are for the people of those areas and for those who pass them when intending Hajj or Umrah. This gives us the understanding that whoever passes those places not intending Hajj or Umrah does not need to wear the ihram. And this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his slaves, and from the ease that he subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to his servants, so to him belongs all praise and to him belongs all thanks for that. And this is also supported by the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came to Makkah in the which is known as Aam al-Fath, the year where Makkah was taken over by the Muslims, and the year of known as the year of victory, the Prophet ﷺ entered Makkah without ihram. He entered while he had a helmet on his head, because he wasn't intending to perform Hajj or Umrah that year. Indeed, he intended to go in to conquer Makkah and to remove it from the shirk that was being performed therein. The Sheikh then says, as for those people who live within the boundaries of the miqats, like the people who live in Jeddah, for example, or those who live in Salam, or Bahra, or Shara'i, or Badr, or Mastura, and these types of places, though they do not have to do anything, they don't have to go to any of the miqats that were previously mentioned. Rather, their miqat is their house, and that is where they do the ihram from. Whether intending Hajj or intending Umrah. And the Sheikh says, and if a person has another house which is outside the boundaries of the miqat, then he has a choice. Either that person, he performs the ihram from that miqat, or he goes to his house, which is closer to the miqat, closer than the miqat to Makkah. And this is due to the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith of Ibn Abbas, when he mentioned those miqats, he said, and whoever lived within those miqats, then his place of assuming ihram is from his family. Even the people of Makkah, they do their ihram from Makkah. This hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. The Shaykh then says, however, the person who intended to do Umrah while they were in the Haram, it is a must for them to leave the Haram area to that which is outside of the Haram boundary in order to start Umrah from there. Because when the Prophet was asked by Aisha radiallahu anha to allow her to perform Umrah, he told her brother Abdul Rahman to take her out of the boundaries of the Haram, meaning the Makkah, the sacred area, to that which is not Haram, the halal area, for her to perform her Ihram from that place. So this proves that the person doing Umrah doesn't do Ihram from inside the Haram, rather they have to go outside of that boundary. And this hadith is this hadith specifies, meaning this instruction to Aisha radiallahu anha, it specifies the generality of the previous hadith that was just mentioned, that even the people of Makkah, they do their ihram from Makkah. That is specific for Hajj, not for Umrah, because if it was for Umrah, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not have sent Aisha radiallahu anha to the boundaries. He would have allowed her to do ihram from where she was. So this is a very clear matter, and this is the statement of the vast majority of the scholars, may Allah have mercy upon them all, and it is the safest position for the believer to take, and it also acts upon both of the hadiths, and Allah is the one who grants success. As for what then the Shaykh says, as for what is prevalent, where some people now increase in doing Umrah after they finish Hajj, they start going to a place called Tan'im, or to the place called Ja'arrana, or other places, and they have already performed Umrah before Hajj, then there is no proof that this is from the legislation of Islam. Rather, the proofs show that it is better not to do that, because the Prophet ﷺ and his companions, may Allah be pleased with them all, they didn't perform Umrah after finishing Hajj. Rather, it was Aisha radiallahu anha who had performed Umrah from Tan'im, because she had not performed Umrah with the people when they entered Makkah for the first time, because she was on her menses. So she requested from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to allow her to perform Umrah instead of that one that they had all performed. So then in place of the ihram that she had assumed when she was at the miqat. And so that the Prophet ﷺ allowed her to do so. And in this manner, she gained two umrahs. One umrah that was embedded in her hajj, and this one that she did separately. So a person who is in a similar situation to Aisha radiallahu anha, there's no issue, no problem for that person to do umrah after finishing hajj, acting upon the proofs, all of the proofs, and to make things easy for the Muslims. And however, without a doubt, for all of the pilgrims to busy themselves by doing another Umrah after finishing Hajj, other than the Umrah that they had performed when they first entered Makkah, then this is a burden upon all of the people, because that will create huge masses of people and will also cause incidents and accidents and so on and so forth. And also this goes against the guidance and the teachings and the way and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah ta'ala is the one who grants success. So we will stop there at this point, inshallah. We ask Allah to allow us to understand the religion of Islam and to act upon that best of that which we hear, and to grant us sincerity in all of our actions, in all of our speech, and keep our acts of worship pure and sincere for Him alone, and in accordance to the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, in the next session, which is tomorrow, we'll continue from the next chapter in this amazing book. والله أعلم وجزاكم الله خيرا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.